Hi, my name's Tim Han. I'm Master of Wine. I'm the creator of MyVinotype.com. If you are even more curious and want some background information, you can go to Tim Hanni, TimHanni.com. And there's videos and documents and things you can read about the background and the research in what we're doing.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
The 23rd annual Zap Zinfandel Festival is upon us, January 23rd through the 25th in San Francisco. They have a new format that they're calling Tasting Tracks that features over 100 fantastic Zinfandel wineries. And leading this charge of the Tasting Tracks is Tim Hanni, Master of Wine. Tim actually has a new book out called Why You Like the Wines You Like, Changing the Way the World Thinks About Wine. And before we talk about your participation in Zap, Tim, I'd love to hear about the book.
Well, I'd be tickled to tell you about it. It was published just about a year ago, first week of January. And behind the book was an industry giant who I've always just loved to death. His name is Harvey Posert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Harvey was a senior vice president of communications for Mondavi for 15 years, and before that he was one of the key people in the California Wine Institute, but he was hiding a secret that he couldn't stand wine. And and so he would be at parties and, you know, hold a glass and whatever, but usually find a way to bring some bourbon and
and
the stuff that he adds to the bourbon that makes it taste, you know, appropriate. I mean, being a good Memphis guy, you know, guy also. So he actually had read the preliminary report from the multiple studies I had been doing over the past 10 or more years about how the number of taste receptors and the number of different factors defines what we're capable of perceiving and at what color.
Oh, wow.
So a simple example of that is if somebody's colorblind, they just don't see that color. And it doesn't make them more or less smart, more or less capable. Now, there's obviously some very specific things that they would be challenged to do, but fundamentally, it's just a physiological aberration. And these kinds of, some people see so many colors that they kind of can't sort it all out. It's like a cacophony.
Okay.
And they see the finest gradations, and everything's brighter to them, sunlight often hurts, you know, they've got to protect their eyes. So it's very significant in how we taste and how we smell and how we respond to touch. And so it turns out the people with the very most taste buds are the diehard sweet wine drinkers who find the dry wines that are so almost mandatory today actually just suck. They're too bitter. The alcohol burns. They've got very specific requirements for what they want their wine to be. And the wine industry is disenfranchising them and just saying, you know, well, as your palate matures, we got all this bad information that we're, you know, we lay upon them. And so that's keeping the liquor companies in good business because high-priced vodka is more expensive because it tastes more like nothing.
Yes.
And then you're allowed to put it in and make your apple teenies or, you know, do something with Bailey's and have a sweet drink. And nobody, and then the other big part of it is my book deals with what's called collective delusions. And one of the collective delusions is, well, the French never drank sweet wine. And that's about as big a delusion as one can imagine because they paid more for, loved, and rejoiced in sweet wine through every part of the meal. And things like Chateau Yquem, there was no dessert wine category per se. That was developed by the U.S. feds after Prohibition to close the tax loop.
Wow.
So So it used to be the spirit of you drink the wines of the household, the host, the region, the whatever.
Right.
You drink what you like in the price range that's appropriate for your station in life. And if it comes out, and if they have strong dry red, you can easily put a sugar cube and a little bit of lemon and water in it and make it taste better. You know, and there's Kir, there's French champagne was very, very sweet. Yeah. Dry French champagne was about as sweet as white Zinfandel. So anyways, it's just this. So Harvey came up to me, he says, I read your material, from Memphis, I read your material, you have to write your book. What can I do to help?
Oh, wow. So, well, Tim, so at the Zap Festival, in this tasting tracks format, and even in your sensory tasting, will there be any sweet Zinfandels presented?
We're going to ensure. I'll be bringing them. It's really funny. And, you know, we talk about wine and community and family and hospitality. And then it's like we have an event where there's wines clearly made from the grape that this organization is dedicated to, but they disenfranchise 30 to even 40% of the total available market because the delusion is that they're not sophisticated.
Right.
We wouldn't serve wines like that. So my mission in life is just, let's stop this idiocy. I mean, it is really, really, really crazy.
Indeed. Indeed. And so is there no sit-down tasting to speak of? Are you going to be, during this tasting tracks where there are going to be 100 different wineries, are you going to be at a podium talking to people and guiding people?
Yes.
Okay.
They're going to have a number of different areas, and this is, something called the tasting track. Let me see if I can find.
Well, I looked at it on the website briefly, and it basically said that people can just mill about. I mean, I didn't get the impression it was a sit-down tasting. But if there are 100 different wineries that people can choose from, then you're going to have to talk loudly.
Well, we'll be at a table, my partner, myself, and maybe one or other two people who are trained in this.
Okay.
And we have a little handout that's like, you know, Ann Landers, you know, answer these 10 questions will tell you you're an alcoholic.
Okay.
Which I won. And then it'll give you a general idea. And what you're going to get out of this is just see, and very quickly, you know, if you're especially with a group of two to, you know, more people, four or five people, all of a sudden it's, oh, that's why you're acting like this. That's why you hate these and I love that. And,
yep.
And it's really, really fun because it engages the individual in the process. And that's what wine is not doing. We're not personalizing things. We're not, like, the analogy I use is you're in a shoe store, and shoes are meant to fit on feet, and they are a physiological component.
Okay.
And what if the shoe industry, masters of shoes who can guess what your shoe is blind, you know, smelling it and blindfolded it and, you know, where it's been and not what, you know, what it stepped in.
Uh-huh.
And then they say, here's a grand prize winner in a really clever price range that I think you'll like, and you put it on your foot and they, that hurts. And even the best master of shoes can only say, well, obviously your foot's not mature. If you understood more about shoes, you would know that these shoes have been worn by hundreds of experts who all agree.
Right. And what does that have to do with me?
Exactly right.
Yep.
So it's like this, it's an opportunity for this next generation and very shortly to say, what wines do you like? Where do you want to go? And an underlying mission as well, so that people aren't afraid to tell the truth and don't lie about what they like. That's a really fascinating part of this whole process. When we do our survey work, people don't want to tell the truth because of the stigma and the embarrassment.
You're going to have to also hammer in on like sommeliers and people who do beverage lists and put together descriptions for wine lists and that sort of thing. I mean, it really has to come even not just from the outside in, but from the inside out, both directions.
And you're dead on right with that. But the good news is that a good progressive wine list that, you know, I've been promoting and had developed over 35 years ago, is actually in a pure range from sweet wines to light, delicate dry whites, aromatic, more oak, more alcohol than the reds, lower alcohol, lighter intensity, less phenolics, less bitterness and tannin, more intensity, more alcohol, or more.
Mm.
And that distributes across the continuum of the number of taste buds. And then there's the big second factor, and that's the neurology.
Oh, boy.
And so what we're doing is wine and food matching is just metaphors. We think it's a reality, but it's not. That bears another conversation.
Tim Hannay, Master of Wine, author of Why You Like the Wines You Like, participating in the 23rd Annual Zap Zinfandel Festival, January 23rd through the 25th. Thank you.
You are so welcome.
In San Francisco.
Hello, this is Chris Lamy, the winemaker for Terra d'Oro Winery and Vice President of ZAP, Zinfandel Advocates and Producers. To learn more about the Zinfandel Experience 2014, please visit ZAP's website at zinfandel.org.
You're listening to iWine Radio.